Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And okay. In my notes, it's just full of violent suggestions. It's like, Olivia, go for his eyes. Yes, Olivia, break his pinky to the side. Cut out his heart.
Yeah. But yeah, instead, she's kind of just like wiping stuff off of him.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Yeah.
I know it's a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I don't expect her to know ground and pound or anything.
Guys, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard Noah say that.
God awful movie.
Movies.
Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema in an effort to induce vomiting before the hallucinations kick in. I'm your host, No Illusions, and sitting to my immediate left is my good friend Heath Enright. Heath, welcome back.
Thank you. My dad's doing a lot better, so got to see another
now you have to
Christian movie.
Watch
really
these
glad
movies
to be here.
Again.
Rub it in, Heath. Rub it in.
It could be worse.
Look at my dad. He recovered from the thing that hurt him. My dad's dead.
Wow, yeah, that's a great, great start. Let's start everybody off laughing with
comedy.
And, of course, you've already heard him, but 989 miles to my right is my bad friend Eli Bosnick. Eli, good of you to rejoin us.
It's good to be here.
And sitting to Eli's immediate left is our special guest, masochist, self-described musical comedian, Rebecca Vigil. Rebecca, welcome to God Awful Movies.
Thanks for having me, everybody.
Oh, you bet, you bet. Now, I have to know, what exactly is a musical comedian?
A musical comedian uses music to tell jokes.
Awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Right.
Now I feel stupid for asking. I probably should have known.
Good. I'm glad it's on record.
So, Heath, tell us, what are we going to be breaking down today?
All right. We watched Christmas Angel, which was delightful. I got to say, maybe the show is skewing my opinion a little bit, but it was just a really good TV movie. Just a really good, great cast. You got Kevin Sorbo, Della Reese. You got Tamira from Sister Sister. I mean, it's just good stuff. Not to mention show stealing fifth grader Isabella Vidovich. Look out for this girl.
She is
going
such a
places,
good actor.
Right?
She's not.
Yeah.
I completely disagree. This is the hill I die on. This girl lost every audition that Dakota Fanning ever got. And this is the compromise she made.
Are you serious?
You didn't let me
finish. She's a good actor
for a 40-year-old woman.
That is true.
It's amazing. Yeah, she's going to play Anne Frank for Tarantino one day. Something she's good.
And that will be the only time I'm ever rooting against Anne Frank. She's upstairs!
Yeah.
She's in the attic! Why don't you people ever check all the spaces? I would have been a great Nazi!
Anyway, you put all that talent together, and you make a movie about Christmas and angels and cancer and jazz music. You got a winner. It's a wonderful movie. Must see. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a terrible movie, but it's great. It was great.
Yeah,
I did not
have a bad time watching it.
All right. Well, at least Eli and I are going to be able to get on board on this one, I do believe. So, Eli, tell me, how bad was this movie?
Okay, so I want to say, this is a terrible movie. This is a terrible movie. It's not you deserve to get raped,
yeah,
or if you abandon your child but then make best friends with Jesus, you should be welcomed back and your husband should change his religion. But this is a terrible movie, and I found the key into this film. The key into this film is Della Reese. Well, first of all, for those who aren't familiar with Della Reese, pause the podcast.
Yeah, shame on
you. Take a moment.
Get
YouTube her and listen to her beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Because then she went fucking crazy. She got, I don't know, she got attacked by a bear or something. She had an NDA. She had a near-death experience, NDE. Which means that, and you have two choices after an NDE. You go, wow, I'm so grateful to be alive. Lucky me. Or you go, Jesus! And she went full Jesus and went on to star or to be a huge part of the show Touched by an Angel,
right,
which is a crazy person's show that somehow ran for years and years and years on TV. Mm-hmm. So whoever made this movie was like, we want to do Touched by an Angel. Mm-hmm. So they wrote the script. It's Touched by the Angel, but it's more Jesus-y. It's about a little girl and the angel is going to come and do presents. And halfway through, legal walked on the set and they were like, guys, Touched by the Angel still owes all those copyrights. We can't do this. And they were like, oh, so who is she? And they were like, she's a black singer who has an accident. And then
the light's a machine, it turns
into a light, and then she uses her credit card to buy everyone presents.
Yeah, she has a horrible, horrible purchasing addiction.
Yeah, she has shopping addiction. This is, whoa, that's what this movie is.
It's a shopaholic, yeah.
And look, if you watch the trailer that we watched, we expected an angel. I was promised an angel, not a sick black lady. If I wanted a sick black lady, I would go back to Meals on Wheels. I stopped. I started eating all the meals. I was let go. It's a long story. I don't want to get into it. But the truth of the matter is, I was promised an angel. It's still a terrible movie. I stand by it.
Well, now, it was a terrible movie, obviously, but it's not terrible to the level that our movies normally are. So I developed this theory, just so the audience knows, Eli picked the last couple of movies, and I'm starting to think that suffering through the whole Thief in the Night thing is just, he's hit the fucking wall. He can go no further. Like, every movie's going to be a little bit better. Like, a couple weeks from now, he's going to go, guys, no, because in Ghostbusters, they quote Revelations. And then in this one, Asa Akira says, oh, God, 11 times. I counted. So that should count as well. Well, now, the other theory, obviously, is that this movie is just as bad as everything that we've ever watched, but we've just become numb to it, so now everything looks like a good movie.
That's what I think.
Well, this is my other theory, and I think this is true of this week and last week. These are both shitty movies, but they're shitty Christmas movies, and since all Christmas movies have a little touch of, like, and God unites us all. Like, I was riding in the car the other day, and I was thinking about Miracle on 34th Street, where the courtroom ends with a little girl being like, look at God's on the money. And I was like, that's fucking horrible. Yeah. If that came out today, I would nominate that for God-awful movies. I think we're just biased because Christian movies are usually, Christmas movies especially, are usually full of shit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you're way more forgiving. No, and I love this, and I want to give the audience a little bit of a peek behind the scenes. Eli always makes up the notes that we all share, and he'll have little subtitles for the movie. So his subtitle on this one is, come on, Della Reese, what the fuck happened? And I was so happy to see that, because I thought that was just a Detroit thing. I'm from Detroit, so I claim sort of an ownership over Della Reese and talented black singer ladies in general. But I'm glad to see that it wasn't just me that had to, like, get depressed as hell every time she was on screen.
Oh, yeah, no, super depressed.
Especially when that crazy journalist comes in.
Oh.
She looks like death.
I don't want to spoil it or jump ahead.
Sorry,
but
I
if
did.
You told me that the scene with the journalist was just them going to Della Reese's hotel room and not telling her they were shooting the film and just taking pictures of her and her being like, leave me alone!
Yeah.
I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame! You got people taking pictures of your fat tits now, don't you?
Dude, that was my least favorite part of the movie, by the way.
It was real dark.
Oh, yeah.
So dark.
Well, obviously, there's a lot to get to, so we're going to pause for a quick break, but then we'll dive nose first into Christmas Angel.
Della!
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Oh, happy to be here.
All right. So this project is called Christmas Angel.
Oh, like Touched by an Angel.
No. This one is completely different. This movie is about an old black lady who, with a child's help, gets people their deepest desires.
That is Touched by an Angel.
Please don't say that word again. Our lawyers inform us it's not similar enough because you aren't actually that word.
Yeah, not in this one, no.
Okay, well, what am I then?
You're an old black lady who I used to be a singer. She had a talk show or something. Then she got sick, and now she does something completely different. Not angeling, though.
You can't say I'm an angel, so you just chose me, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am, we did.
Sorry about that.
That's correct.
And we're back for the breakdown, and I have to say, if this was the opening for a horror movie, the first 9 seconds were completely up to snuff. Basically, we immediately get this, there's this old house that's next to her house or whatever, and that's going to be pivotal, but we cut almost immediately from that to her at school, where apparently all they ever do is read their Christmas wishes aloud. That is the only assignment they have
yes,
in this school.
This is the 25 week assignment that they get
apparently
for this movie, and the assignment is so weird and sadistic. It's my impossible Christmas wish.
So mean. Stand in front of your peers and tell them something you'll never achieve.
Let's all get up and stand, admit our failings. Miss Teacher's gonna go first. I wanted to teach people who weren't little pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Great. I'm gonna be at the back with my thermos full of scotch.
Yeah, my impossible Christmas wish is be happy in my life. Horrible.
And just to really drive the point home, the very first thing we see is this little kid, and he's reading his impossible Christmas wish, which is a bike, but he'll never get it because he's an orphan and no one loves him.
And his essay is basically, hey everybody, I'm an orphan. Orphan, orphan, foster care, orphan, orphan, foster care. And then the teacher's like, great, wonderful, everybody go home now.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody go home and be happy you have parents, except for you, Mikey.
Well, that's why the assignment takes so long. They read one a day, and then they send them
right.
home.
Right. And then the school ends. Also, during this class scene, Kevin Sorbo wanders in to tell him God's not dead, but I guess they're too young.
Right,
so he
yeah.
turns back around and waits for the older kids.
And he's acting very... very suspicious for an adult at an elementary school. Like, I'm saying to myself, this guy's gonna get shot by an Oath Keeper, definitely. He does not belong here.
No question. And that's, I wanna plant a flag right now. Kevin Sorbo, throughout the entire film, behaves like a fucking crazy person.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He played it autistic.
I thought it was gonna be revealed that Kevin Sorbo was a murderer.
Right, like, yeah, exactly.
He freaked out if he was around people.
Right.
He always left last minute.
If they opened up his Christmas wish and it was, I hope the police don't find the bodies, his acting makes sense in this movie. 100%. But since they don't, it's crazy.
Agreed.
I think at this point in his career, he doesn't know how to play characters that don't find Jesus eventually. So because he didn't have that arc, he was just like, wait, I'm not a big-time businessman who's going to understand it's most important to be about Jesus?
Yeah, and they were like, what if you always like Jesus?
Kevin, in this movie, you're a doctor who helps people. And then I learned that I shouldn't do that. No, man, you're always a doctor. No one stays a doctor. I don't understand. I don't know how to get into this. He's like Dustin Hoffman in Marathon Man. He's trying to stay awake at night.
He's not even acting like an adult either. I wrote down... Prediction, Sorbo is an after-school student with Benjamin Button disease, and he's going to talk to his teacher. This doesn't make sense otherwise. He's acting like an autistic.
Yeah, no, basically he plays this character on the spectrum for no fucking reason whatsoever. So a couple of important people we're introduced to in this scene. We're introduced to Olivia. That's going to be our main character. Mm-hmm. She's the one doing the voiceover. Her
Amazing
best friend,
actress.
Lucas, and the bully, whose name I never caught, but is really not... selling the bully
Joey.
Thing.
His
he
name's
is
Joey.
Not selling the bully.
Joey. He's not good. And listen, I was a bully. Joey's a terrible, terrible bully. If your version of bullying of a black kid is, you dropped your pencils, you're not giving it your all.
Yeah.
You're not giving it your all. This podcast and the things I'm going to say about Lucas are far worse than anything this bully does in the entire time.
Can we also talk about the fact the first time the little blonde white girl sees Sorbo, she gives him sex eyes?
Oh, she gives several grown men.
That will continue happening.
All the men.
Okay, she said it first, and we're going to announce her Twitter at the end.
I'm the girl, so I figured I'd introduce. This girl wants to bone zone all of these dudes.
All the grown men, yes. She is craving D in this.
And not daddy.
Not daddy. No, I mean, maybe daddy, but a different kind of daddy.
Yeah.
Because she is given every grown man, everyone over the age of 13 in this movie, she's like, oh my gosh, I fit two popsicles in my mouth at the same time.
She's super lonely. Crazy.
You should fuck my mom.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What if I walk in while you guys are fucking? Like, what would happen?
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
But
what would we do?
Throughout the movie, she seems like 35 years old.
Oh,
like,
yeah. She acts like an insane.
Talk about Benjamin Button disease. Yeah. Like, yeah, she's like, you know, my 401k is really doing great. What?
Right. So then they're walking home. Baby Dakota Fanning and Lucas are walking home. And they're basically talking about how they, like, they're so glad they don't have foster parents. Cause their conversation the entire ride home is basically like, yeah, man, I mean, he wants a bike, but he's never gonna get a bike cause he's a foster kid. And foster parents don't care about their foster kids.
Nope.
Foster kids are just like garbage pets, right? Yeah, they're pretty much just garbage pets.
Yeah, now, people collect them.
They're the Pendolphins of children.
Yeah.
Well, now, the thing, okay, first of all, this is one of, I think something like 611 scenes we're going to get of Olivia and Lucas walking together down sunny street. And what Lucas is actually saying in this scene, this is so fucking dark, is he's going like, I don't know why he didn't wish for parents. If I was going to make an impossible wish, I wouldn't want some fucking bike. I'd want my parents to not be dead. I'm like, Lucas is one insensitive fuck. That's right. Like the first thing we learn about this kid.
Yeah.
I'm glad Joey took his pencils. He doesn't deserve those fucking pencils.
Yeah. See, Joey is there for justice because Lucas is a little dick.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, we've already met more than one black character, which was very, very refreshing.
Going I wrote that down right away.
Yeah, you gotta love the racially integrated cast here.
There's a lot of black kids. This
was like the Jackie Robinson of pure flicks.
It was like half and half, man. Yeah, exactly. It was crazy.
And the other way, too. Like the Marissa Tomei on A Different World of pure flicks at the same time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
To be fair, though, 80% of the lines that African Americans say in this movie is, I got gumbo! 80% of their dialogue is gumbo related.
Or, oh man, fuck that foster kid.
Right, exactly. Well, and just to emphasize that point, one of the first things that we see Lucas do is damage other people's property.
Right, and by the way, so the conceit of this movie is they find an old house which she lives next to, which is all boarded up and run down, and they're like, and he's like, this is a wishing house. If you pick up a rock and smash a window, your wish will come true.
Yeah.
That's not a real mythology. That's something a psychopath says.
You didn't know that about vandalism?
Is that true?
Yeah, that's why they do it.
Every time you spray paint a wall, you get a hand job or something?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what he says, and so they decide to do it, and of course, what they want to wish for, since they're such good Christian kids, is that the orphan gets his bike. So she says that, and he throws a rock at the door or whatever. This is pivotal to this goddamn movie. That's why we're spending so much time on it. Although, I didn't know that at the time, so all I wrote in my notes is, these kids are never going to make it in porn with those acting skills.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote, this is not... These are below the level of Disney Channel. These kids were cut in the second casting of a Disney Channel.
This is like their consolation prizes to be in this movie. And right. Now we've got to meet Mom. And I want to talk about Mom for a second here, because she is my favorite actor that we've encountered in any of these movies by leaps and bounds. She could actually act. She actually like was engaging the whole time.
I can't believe you're saying this about the mom. The mom I felt was a weird Asperger-y single lady too.
Oh, you didn't like the mom?
I thought she was like, why is it that everybody, if they're single and older, like wants to be a shut-in? Like wants to be like, I just don't know how to be around people anymore.
Oh no, I couldn't agree with you more about the character. Like the writer needs to get a kick in the nuts for his whole like what? A 30-year-old woman who's not married? What the fuck is wrong? She must be a lesbian or something.
She's such a freak.
Yeah, but I liked the actress. But yeah, no, the character was ridiculous. We meet this character and within 9 seconds, it's like, why aren't you married, lady?
Yeah, from the woman across the counter who's like, gives her that like, what does your husband think? Oh, you're single? Hmm.
Oh, I guess like, you don't have any thoughts at all then.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a flesh puppet? I'm sorry, you just said you weren't married, so I assume that there's like wax underneath your skin.
You're a blonde white woman. You should be owned by now.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, did someone steal you?
Your husband was a soldier and he died.
Yeah. Why don't you have a folded flag pinned to you so that we know that? Yeah. That would be more useful. Wear it as a necklace. Make it fun.
Please show us your excuses.
Yeah, she tells a customer she's not married the way you tell your neighbors about your Megan's Law status.
Yes, yeah,
really. Yeah, I'm a single mother. Sorry, yeah, sorry, sorry.
I'm
sex crime. Don't look at me. Single
you.
Mother. Sorry.
Or in my case, in song.
Yeah. Door to door. All right. So when we first meet her, the little girl is up at, upstairs working on her impossible Christmas wish because that's all they do at school. And they notice a mysterious light coming from that abandoned house next door. And mom says, well, it's not a ghost.
Right.
And she's correct.
She's correct. Right. It is not a ghost. And to be fair to this character, at no point does this character take the notion that it's an angel seriously.
Nope.
Her daughter's like, it's an angel. And she's like, aw, you're a little kid. That's adorable. No, it's not. And she's like, it is. And she's like, I'm going to drop this because you're a little kid.
Yeah, true.
And that's it. There's at right. no point in this movie, and this is why this movie is so different from everything else. What we expect from Christian movies at this point is later on for the mom to go, you know what? You were right.
It is
an angel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this movie just treats people who think angels are real the way everyone else in the world thinks right. angels.
Just like, stop.
Oh, yeah. you can cut that out when
right,
you're older.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I also like that this is the first time that we actually get the whole, you know, hey, mom, why aren't you married thing. The little girl asked mom what she would wish for. Well, mom's a big Auburn right. fan, so she's hoping for a win against Alabama. I get that. I understand that. That's her Christmas wish. But the daughter says, aren't you sure you wouldn't rather wish for a husband?
Yeah. This,
right. Wouldn't you rather a man muscle that you could ride every night, Mom? Do you really want just a fucking football game?
Mom, I found the dolphin in your drawer. I mean,
this was...
She's
that's why
him.
I have no batteries for my Wii remote, Mom. I know.
She wishes for a college football outcome. And Olivia says, really? LSU? You sure you don't want to wish for... not being a neglectful single parent? You sure you don't want to make a socially responsible wish? Maybe wish you weren't a whore who got pregnant out of wedlock? I want to die.
Right.
D up. Yeah.
Also, just again, to this mom's credit, she's like, I think that's what I would wish for a prayer. And then the mom says, and I can't believe this made it into a movie that we're reviewing, it's okay to wish or say prayers as long as it doesn't make you unhappy. Which is the right. most... possible statement I could agree with from any of these movies, which is like, I mean, I guess if you wanna, like,
right.
you can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want. You want to say the N-word in your yeah. room? Do it.
Sure. I work with a bunch of them.
Shout it to
wow.
Speaking of which, moves us right along to our next scene, where she works at King Cakes and Cajun Bakes, I guess, because yep. they wanted to really kind of like, you know, set this movie in Louisiana.
Black people!
Yep. Black people!
Yeah. So, and now we meet in this scene the local reporter.
Oh my God.
Who looks like an emaciated Ryan Bell.
Yeah, it's a poor man's Justin Bieber.
I have a theory about this. I have a theory that his character description was Jewish, but no one who made this movie has ever met a Jewish Jew. Person.
So I don't know, like, they have brown hair.
They have brown hair, they're sneaky.
Yeah,
they're sneaky.
Yeah.
Like, if you offer them a bagel, they won't just write you a newspaper article about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sneaky, 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 sneaky.
And they just, like, do whatever they want. I mean, we can't, all, we're not there yet.
All of his,
Jesus.
All of his stage directions are, you know, like a Jew.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that. Leave mid-sentence without paying.
Yeah,
like a
right.
Jew.
What?
Right, cut. Jewier. Just a little.
So,
no.
So the owner of her shop, whose name I never did catch.
Yeah. Tia.
Tamira.
I'm sorry.
Either one.
Tamira from Sister.
Okay.
Gillette.
Yeah. So Dave, the owner of the shop, wants the reporter to eat his beignets because if he eats his beignets, then he'll write about them in the local paper and he'll be famous. This will come up 11 more times, as will the fact that she's not married, which comes up again in this scene.
Right.
I feel like that's what the whole damn movie's about.
Oh, yeah, the
whole crazy.
The whole movie is about filling mom's meat pie.
Yeah, it's so true.
That's what this movie is. Debbie does Dallas without the fucking. That's what this movie is.
So now, then I guess Lucas comes in and scares off the reporter by being loud and black. And,
right.
And now we
the reporter stands his ground and shoots Lucas.
Right.
Oh, you saw him coming for me. He had Skittles. Right, he was making a special drug. He was going to shake it up with some Mountain Dew and then smoke it.
So now we learn that the kid, Ricky, the orphan kid, actually got the bike that they wished for, and he doesn't even know who gave it to him. And, of course, they say, well, it's probably that angel that lives in the house we threw a rock at. And Ricky, to his credit, is like, okay, I'm going to go ride my bike, guys. Have fun with that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Very reasonable I wrote reaction. In my notes, proper reaction to talk about angels. I'm going to show people my bike.
I'm going to just start saying that whenever anybody wants to talk to me about God or Jesus. I'm just like, I'm going to show everybody my bike and fuck the hell off. Yeah,
exactly. And that is the proper reaction. Because, listen, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, there was always that one kid who wanted to talk about some weird shit. You'd be like, hey, Jim, what's going on with you this week? And he'd be like, I'm an elf from Glafnor. And you're like, oh, okay, goodbye.
I'm going to show everybody my bike.
I'll see you in high school when you get your own yearbook page because you kill yourself. Oh, it's not my fault. I didn't. He killed himself. He killed himself. I didn't kill him.
That's true. That's true.
So, but of course, in this movie, everyone hears the rumor that you can get wishes to come true by throwing rocks at this abandoned house.
And they tear it apart right. like a Danish guy drew a cartoon of vomit inside.
Why are they not, like, someone lives in there now and nothing is happening to the outside.
Nothing's happening to the outside. It's and insane. Nobody in this town questions the, if you break a person's property, you get a wish thing. All the kids are like, I got a thing. I'm glad she wasn't like, every time you murder an animal, you get a wish because there'd be dogs and cats flayed on the streets. It's like the fucking short story, The Lottery, but with children.
That's way more religiously accurate.
Yeah, actually, that Old Testament backs you up on that one.
They couldn't find any blemish-free rams.
Found this fatted calf. I'd like a wish, please.
Right. And to be fair, the bully, Joey, pulls a James Randi. He's like, hey, I tested your wish theory. I wished for $1 million. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Little did he know that a black lady was judging his wishes.
Yeah.
Stupid, Joey. You stupid.
That is so funny. I laughed out loud.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, your wishing house is bullshit. My dad beat me with the wrench again. Obviously, this isn't working.
You know what you get at Joey's house for spilling paint in the garage?
So we come back to the house. Mom sees a bunch of kids, and these are like teenagers, like 17, 18-year-old kids throwing rocks at the wishing house.
Yeah, these are 45-year-old people.
Eventually, yes. Eventually, we have grown goddamn adults going to the wishing house to fucking make wishes. It's ridiculous.
And there's still that many windows?
Yeah, right.
Just Della Reese inside with several plate glass. Yeah. God damn it, fucking crackers. Keep breaking these windows. What did Della Reese spend most of those months doing? Repairing windows from the inside.
New panes of glass.
I got throat cancer. This is not good for my throat cancer.
So the daughter, like, rats herself out for telling everybody that they can wish on the house, and the mom's like, well, that was kind of stupid. And she's like, yeah, but so-and-so wished for a bike, and so-and-so wished for a dog. How did that happen? And mom, once again, is like, yeah, that's not really in need of explanation.
Yeah, people want presents and get them.
You know, grandma comes for Christmas. That's not a completely weird thing.
That's but one of several montages, by the way.
Right.
There's tons of like, do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah, tons of, man, we need to get an hour and 38 minutes.
Exactly.
Right. And then mom lies about what angels are, which, to mom's credit, you don't want to be accurate about what angels do in the Bible.
No.
She goes, you know, in the Bible, every time the angels show up, it's because they're telling someone not to be afraid. I'm like, actually, I got this story called Sodom and Gomorrah, where they're like, hey, those guys tried to fuck me. You give them your daughters because we're going to turn everybody into salt and fire and shit.
Yeah. Angels are henchmen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But in the daughter's defense, though, at this point, it's work. Wishes are coming true. She goes, yeah, I admit it. The house is granting wishes. And I told some people about the magical house. I'm 10 and it works. I mean, I'm going to get you some dick, mom. Just watch. This thing's amazing. Wait until you see how powerful this house is.
Yeah. So now she decides, okay, so again, she sees the weird glow and she decides to check out the abandoned house. Now, the real end of this story is that the little girl gets gang raped by meth heads and then sold into slavery because she's walking into an abandoned fucking house in the middle of the night because she saw a weird light in it.
Yeah, exactly. I was so expecting her to walk in on three potheads with a black light.
Right.
Just staring at a Garcia poster and being like, oh, whoa, do you like live here?
Yeah.
No, this is an abandoned house.
You want to try crack?
Already there, brother man. Yeah. Already there. You want to fuck my mom?
Yeah.
I'm good.
She's needing some dick. And then also Della Reese now shows up. This is the first time we've seen her in the movie. She shows up to run the little girl off, but right. not before she asks Della if she's an angel.
Ooh, right. child, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Which, again, is very upsetting because Della Reese was an angel in Touched by an Angel.
Right.
So when Della Reese is like, no, I'm not an angel.
And she's in a white robe.
Yeah, it's this very weird wink to like, but I was an angel. Yeah. Y'all remember that TV show? But there was some legal troubles, so no, I'm not technically an angel. You could call me angelic and I'm touching you. Huh? Y'all remember that? I get those residual checks still.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, yeah.
Every time the CMT turns on at midnight.
Scott, Della, you can't say that.
You can't say that.
You can't.
You took pictures of me Della, while I was sleeping.
Della, your tits are hanging out. Della.
You get off me. You're not a real cop.
So now we cut to, Kevin Sorbo owns this old abandoned house, and he's sick and tired of people throwing rocks at it. So we cut to him, like, putting up tape, like a police line do not cross crime scene tape. And right. I was just writing in my notes, oh, he's making it look like a crime scene. That's nice. When the mom character shows up and says, what the fuck are you doing? Make it look like a crime scene over here. And I'm like, oh, okay, they already took care of that for me. Right, never mind.
Fine. If you're going to fucking cut into my notes. If you see that Kevin Sorbo looks like he got trapped in a tanning booth for 40 years, I'm fucking quitting. You can't just get meta on me, movie. I make fun of you, not the other way around. The movie starts to do jokes about my physical appearance.
Yeah. Right.
If there were a guy named Eli Bosnick, he'd be going bald. All right, that's enough of this punk.
By the way, I thought the mom was being a little demanding when she walks over. He's taping up the house.
Yeah.
She was being kind of, I mean, she's mad at Kevin Sorbo because he's not cleaning up after her daughter's street gang and their vandalism spree. I mean, maybe dial down the tone a little. Like, just seemed unreasonable.
Yeah, I agree. That's not her property. Like, if a neighbor came up to you and started talking shit about your house,
right.
then you didn't want to fuck
up.
Her, I guess, according to the story.
Right. Or she goes, well, they're excited about Christmas. And it's like, no, being excited about Christmas is not an excuse to break windows.
No.
Does she just walk around to crime scenes and there's like a bloody rape slash murder? And she's like, well, you know, people are excited about Christmas. Ba-boom.
Well, I also love this little exchange. She goes, she says to Kevin Sorbo, she's like, well, you know kids. And he goes, I don't have kids. It's like, well, but you're aware there's an invention called kids. And on that invention, they show shows, right?
Oh, are those the little humans? Those are the little humans, not fully grown humans, right?
Yeah. With the humans still with impeccable skin. Tell me more.
Oh, we also learned, by the way, that Sorbo is a doctor in this. He introduces himself as Dr. Nathan something or another. But he also wants her to know that he doesn't care about the doctor thing. It's just instinct.
Just call me. Kind
of, he ad-libbed that. He was like, but being a doctor doesn't matter. What matters is being a Christian.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Cut. Kevin, just say the lines, Kevin.
Yeah. I'm Dr. Saved.
Yeah. Someone tase Della. Get your hands off me.
Yeah.
So now we cut to, mom's got this great idea that she's gonna, in order to try to help him out so that the kids aren't breaking the windows anymore, she's gonna paint up a little box where they can put their Christmas wishes on the box and then she's gonna hang that up. So anyway, so we get her and the daughter and Lucas all painting this together and they're having a conversation about Sorbo and she's like, oh, you finally met the crotchety old guy who owns that. And she's like, yeah, way more fuckable than I expected. So, yeah.
And by the way, this was,
he said doctor.
Not the best strategy for making a painted box. They're all doing it. I mean, probably just build the box and then paint it. You wouldn't take six pieces and then paint them all and then put them wet. And it seemed unreasonable to me.
I'm sorry. I don't understand. What I usually do is I dunk several pieces of wood into large bathtubs of paint. Mm-hmm. And then I use the paint as it dries to hold the box together.
Yeah. No, I mean, just still stick to throwing rocks at buildings. Yeah, rocks.
Fuck you and
your box. I
throw
rocks at the box I want built
exactly.
And I wish.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have loved the scene if somebody had just dropped a wish in the little box and then thrown a rock at a window. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom. I had to poop and I hoped someone wasn't in the bathroom.
Well, it is Christmas.
And also, we get a little glimpse into the dark, dark recesses of Lucas's soul in this scene, because they say, oh, does he have any kids? And he's just like, well, he said he didn't have kids. And Lucas goes, well, maybe they're all dead.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Was that in the script, or is that just what this kid says?
Oh, there's no question that they didn't give this kid a pill on time, and he was like, right. Maybe they're all dead. Maybe he cut off their faces and wore them so he knew what it was like to see through their eyes, you know? Just to feel the innocence of a child again. All right.
Cut.
I'm just saying, get your hands off me. You're not a real cop. That's enough for the day, guys. We can close the gate.
So now we go back to the oral reports at school, and now it's Olivia's turn to give her oral report, and of course, she just wishes for some dick for her mom.
Right. And she has all these moments of, like, comedy, quote-unquote, where she's like, God. She's not impossible to marry off, and it's like... And then she wishes, and this is just a fantastic moment. She goes, I don't know. I just want someone who's good to her so she could complete her dream of hospitality management.
Going to school for hospitality management is her dream.
Her dream is a degree you can get at Phoenix.
She's a white blonde woman. Her dream is to be a homemaker.
Yes. Right.
Hospitality management.
That's just a fancy word for hospitality management.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But also, like, we talked about how many weeks, months, nay, years they might have had to work on these impossible Christmas wish lists. She's repeatedly told to, like, go work on it. And it is literally four sentences long.
Yeah.
Like,
right. What? How long did it take her to write those sentences?
Yeah.
Her first draft was The Sun Also Rises.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom needs dick. No, two up front.
Two up front. Too far.
I sounded desperate. I sound desperate. Hold on.
Come on, Olivia. You can do this.
Yeah, Sorbo will never fuck me at this rate.
But she ends up slaying it. Her stand-up set.
She does. She did. She did a tight open mic set.
Yeah.
It was really great.
But white single moms be neglecting like this. they loved it.
I now have an image in my mind of Olivia fucking a stool.
What?
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Open mic. Got it. Okay. Got it.
You just thought it was a little girl.
I was like, why? That's really hey, guys, can we pause and talk about that?
It's her and three friends. The stool's upside down. I'm not the only one.
The carousel.
I feel good now.
The carousel.
I get it.
That's what we call it.
We're rolling on it.
So now we go back to the old house, and it looks like mom and daughter and her bosses and all have all pitched in to pretty up the house a little and try some Christmas bows on it so nobody will throw rocks on it. Sorbo shows up. Now, keep in mind, this is just a guy who owns some old abandoned property. He shows up, and there's a bunch of strangers decorating it for Christmas. That's fucking weird.
That is weird, and he responds appropriately.
Yes.
He's like, thank you. This is lovely. But this is my house.
Yeah.
So don't do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Why did you put a box out front where people can make wishes? I'm a doctor. And they're like, you're a little bit of a grump, aren't you? And he's like, no, I'm a little bit of a person who didn't invite this contact.
Yeah.
Well, and then just to make it extra creepy, her boss walks up to him and says, I see you eating at the deli in town. I also noticed that you use a scrunchie when you're in the shower. You used a body wash instead of the bar soap, and I like that. Like, that's some creepy shit.
Well, it's also like, we don't see single men walking around these parts.
I couldn't help but notice you have a squatty potty, my friend. How's that work? Is that a thing? Is that real?
It's like everybody's on the lookout to get this woman boned.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely. And he has no idea, but so they invite him to dinner, and he doesn't want to go, so they basically drag him against his will. I think he's kidnapped at the end of this fucking scene.
And so the first thing we see is a a cut of him and the black guy not having anything to talk about.
Which is so crazy. And they're not drinking.
And they're not drinking.
Super Christian.
They're just sitting there being like, so.
And then they drink at the same time and they laugh about it. Right, like, they're like, oh, what are we, a bunch of faggots?
What is this shit? So, like, do all of your lives matter? Like, I'm trying to figure this out.
Yeah. What they drink glasses at the same time and they go, so we've just had sex, I suppose.
You guys host a lot of miscegenated dinner parties? This is great. This is great. Yeah, we would just call it a dinner party, but yeah, we do.
Why aren't you guys all sitting on the same side of the table?
I don't understand. Do we eat first and then you guys get the scraps? How does this work?
It's like the Amish. And by the way, of course, while they're doing that, the women are in the kitchen making the food because they're women. So, yeah, so Sorbo's uncomfortable around the blacks. Daphne is going to buy her a man whore for the holidays.
Right. They have a moment where they pray, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
He goes, we pray before we eat. And, okay, if you've ever wondered what's it like when Eli's at a table where he doesn't expect grace, you can watch Kevin Sorbo's face in this scene.
It's true.
Lost terror, where everyone bows their head, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, happy birthday to you. I think prayers take about the same length as happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Yeah, which is so weird because, you know, he's Mr. Christian guy.
He's Mr. Christian
guy. So he has to, like, really play it up.
Right. He's later Christian in the movie, so I don't know why he doesn't know how to say grace.
I know.
He just has autism.
Yeah, agreed. He doesn't know how to be around people.
Don't vaccinate your kids, people. We get it.
So the little daughter, though, after they say grace, decides to give him the third degree because as desperate as she is for somebody to fuck her mom, she don't want it to be Kevin Sorbo, apparently.
No.
Yeah, she doesn't want her mom getting sloppy seconds. So she's like, so, would you pass the potatoes? And also, are you fucking my teacher?
Yeah.
So you hugged up on some slut at school. What are you doing here now?
Right.
Yeah, but the teacher is his sister because that's the only appropriate reason to have a relationship with a woman that you're not having sex with is
listen.
If
you
better be related.
The only reason, the only time I ever hug a woman is when I'm about to have sex at her.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah, that's the only time I allow hugs.
Yeah. Right. Oh, guys, you can't see it because this is an audio medium, but Rebecca is in a full burqa right now.
Yeah, totally.
I also love this moment where basically Sorbo basically just gets the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Because it seems Texas Chainsaw Massacre-y, like the most sane thing anyone does in this entire movie is him getting the fuck out of this house. Because they're all like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, nobody seems to want to fuck this blonde girl. We tried to sell her off like a Russian bride. That didn't work. Meanwhile, the little girl's going, what are your intentions towards my mom? And the fucking black guy is going, stop eating her. Jesus will be angry. We must thank him first. And he's like, you know what? I got a call. I have a patient emergency.
Sorry,
I gotta
Lucas
go.
Is across the table being, you need to do the alphabet with your tongue. The alphabet with your tongue.
Why do you think I got this white girl on a leash?
Sorry, looks like it's time for me to doctor. Oh, so many people need doctoring, doctor.
I have to see
emergency
a patient.
Emergency ear, nose, and throat.
I have a patient. He has Asperger's. It's me. I'm the patient. Bye.
They all do.
So now they check the wishing box next door, the little kids do, and holy shit, it's empty. That must mean magic.
Magic.
Yeah.
So.
Instead of people going, oh, wait, I thought it was the rock throwing thing. Not as fun.
Right.
But we're going to learn that it's far, far creepier even than that.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, we get a hint of that because inside the house, we can hear Della Reese singing the about to ceremonially murder a goat for Satan song or whatever.
Right. Exactly. And this is part of
that. Y'all is a musical comedian right there.
This is part of me getting bummed out in this movie is the first time I heard Della Reese's voice. I was like, oh, she lost her voice.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to her sing before, and then you listen to what happens out of her face in this movie.
she sounds like Tom Waits at a certain point.
Someone
yeah.
had a stroke, but had to communicate that they were having that stroke through song.
Yeah.
I smell burnt toast.
Smell bread.
The phase of the musical.
Rubs.
I love it.
Oh, shit. So now, okay, now this is, up until now, Kevin Sorbo's character has just seemed like kind of a normal guy being put in abnormal circumstances. Now he goes like full Asperger's here because yeah. we now cut to her at work and he is outside pacing back and forth and peeking in their windows like he doesn't know how doors work.
Like, yeah.
And this is very clearly because the people who wrote this movie and of course Kevin Sorbo have seen the beginning of a romantic comedy and then turned it off when the sex happened. So they were like, right? Because the guy always paces outside and he gets himself psyched up to talk to the girl. But what they forgot is the part where the guy comes inside and asks the girl out. So they have the most awkward, like, meet cute you can possibly imagine. He comes in and he's like, so your skin has face. I could wear it.
Oh, could you? Maybe tonight?
Friday. I'll fuck you? No, I won't. I'll never
no,
fuck
yes, you.
You
will. Yes, you will.
Okay, well, we can decide. Want to have dinner at 4:30?
Like, please.
Their date is so early.
If I'm out past 7 p.m., I make a poop smell.
Bring that caution tape.
So yeah, so then so we get the oh god Jesus, we don't have to do this again, do we? We get the it's a date, it's not a date thing with the daughter.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. It's not a date, it's a date.
And
the
getting
daughter's
dressed in front of your daughter too.
And the daughter's being a fucking cock block.
Yeah, totally.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like you know, I'll put on flats so right. I don't look like I'm trying too hard.
And then they
fine, ugly. Like, mom, she's so rude to her mom.
Like, really, mom, you're gonna wear that? Yeah. Why don't you just give it away? Why don't you just ask for the date in the bedroom? Really, mom? Your vagina smells. I can smell it from down here because I'm a little bit shorter than you, and I just want you to know that. He's gonna throw up if he goes down on you. And then we talk about the bully. And we learned that the bully's a bully because he's got an abusive alcoholic dad.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I want to take a stand here. I was a bully. I like to think I still am a bully. I'm very proud of that. I had a lovely family. I come from lovely people. I'm just a bad person.
Right. Sometimes, proud of being a bully?
Yeah. I caused a kid to kill himself in high school. It's a long story. We don't have to talk about
that
it.
That is
it's a big thing.
Such a long story.
He went to the Navy instead. It's fine. He's okay.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
I just want to take a stand for bullies everywhere. Not everyone comes from an abusive family.
Right.
Sometimes you roll the dice and you just end up a shitty person.
Right. That's okay. Good. So it was entirely your responsibility.
It's on me. It's on me.
Got it.
Now, that's what I'm saying.
It's God's fault. And that's what we learn in this scene. When she prays for the bully dad or the bully's dad to stop drinking and get a job, and she actually says, and maybe we'll even see them at church sometime.
Right.
So that's where bullies come from. Bullies come from alcoholic atheist dads.
Which, again, there has been so little Christianity in this movie so far that when that happened, I was like, yeah!
Right?
Yeah. It's the genre.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any tweets.
I wrote like 30 minutes in, still no angel.
Yeah, right? What?
Yeah.
So then we cut to school and the kids are all just playing on the playground because their teacher has not come to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently that's how it works in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this guy shows up, this young, handsome guy, which this little girl will spend the rest of the movie
eye-fucking
as hard as
constantly,
she possibly
yes.
can.
And he always is running up to stuff.
He's sweaty like, at
hey,
every moment. Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
yeah,
I'm your teacher.
This teacher acts like a gym teacher, but he is not a gym teacher.
Oh, my balls are hanging out of my shorts. Sorry about that.
I just did 100 burpees right outside the door.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy has a fucking whistle hanging off of his neck. He doesn't just look like a gym teacher. Like, he thought he was playing gym teacher and has no idea until the movie came out. He's like, oh, I was just supposed to be a geography teacher?
Yeah. Oh, I was just a third grade teacher? Why did everyone let me wear that whistle?
I look like an idiot.
To third grade. We homeschool our kids so they don't find out about evolution.
Right.
We have no idea what school is like.
Exactly.
We assume every day is a presentation about your impossible wishes. And then your gym teacher comes in and teaches you math.
Totally. And he goes, so I'm your substitute
school.
Teacher. And they all go, yay!
Yeah, like right. No kids have
ever
said. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, this was a sexually charged moment, like you
totally.
Guys were saying. I mean, normally, be a weird moment between a grown man and a 10-year-old girl, but this actress pulls it off. She's that good.
Yeah, she sells
you.
It hard.
Don't stand
check
so.
Her out. My mom watches college football too. Wink.
Yeah.
So then we go back to the, like, her actually getting ready for the date thing, where, like, the daughter is clearly trying to explain to the mom, no, put the brakes on, Sorbo. I found way better dick for you.
She's definitely talking up the gym teacher. Yeah. She's like, oh my gosh. And then Mr. Brendan, like, sat down and I could see the outline of his penis, and mom, it was like a monster can. It was like a fucking monster can.
Definitely the same size as the dolphin in your drawer.
You're 9. Yeah, well, he's 9 inches. Get it here, sister lady. I feel like I should send you to a doctor.
Oh, and speaking of doctors, of course, this is where we have to get the Kevin Sorbo stands her up and doesn't show up for the date scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin Sorbo stands her up. She
can't open a jar.
Right.
Because she's a woman. Yeah. Because single women, now the whole message of this movie is single women are incomplete, partial things. But they really drive it home when they point out that they would starve to death because they can't open jars.
I guess I'll just open peanut butter, and peanut butter's fine by itself.
This is what happens to single mothers.
I actually wanted to test this theory. Rebecca, are you married?
No.
Okay. Now, again, audio medium, so this is going to be a little bit difficult to communicate. I have a jar here. Rebecca, please attempt to open it.
Okay, so how do I hold the jar?
Okay, excellent, great. So you're just going to put your hands here.
Okay.
Excellent, and you're going to twist it.
You say boobs? Put your boobs where?
No. Okay, she currently has the jar between her boobs.
In a burka.
In a burka, which is very impressive. Well, I'm not mad. I'm impressed.
Strong breasts.
And can you open it with your breasts?
I mean, open meaning...
It's only no. Only from the Patreon, for the Patreon
yeah,
listeners
exactly.
on this one.
Does
yeah.
open mean... I want to marry you? Is that what this means?
Guys, Rebecca thinks we're getting married now. This is very upsetting.
I just met his fiance too.
Oh my God. This was just a painfully, Jesus fucking Christ, why were so many women willing to be involved in this movie kind of a moment.
I can't believe you would even participate in that scene as a woman. Like, you'd be like, no.
You'd
I'm
go to
kidding.
The director and be like, oh, can we rewrite this so that it's for people?
Yeah,
exactly.
Can
exactly.
I just open the jar and make sandwiches because I play a mortgage and I own a business?
Well, in fact, we actually took all the lines from this scene from an MRA foreman. We just got them right out of this was right off of a message board on A Voice for Men.
Yeah. So she has her breakdown, I don't need jelly because I have batteries, damn it, moment. And then, so now we've got to go back to Della Reese. So the little girl, has seen the doctor wandering around here. He owns the house. So she gets the idea that Della Reese must know where the doctor is. So she goes to this old woman's abandoned house in the middle of the night and knocks and keeps going. Like, she's going like, I'm not going to leave because I know you're here and I'm going to. And then Della Reese shows up at the door with a shotgun, but not because this movie sucks. That would have been fucking awesome.
I stand my ground, you little white cracker bitch. Not again. I was around in the 50s. Pa-coom.
Yeah, totally.
She had a rock, officer. She had a rock.
So she goes into the house, and it gets explained to her. We've hinted this already, but it gets explained to her that that Della Reese is not an angel.
Mm-mm.
Della Reese has just been reading those messages or hearing those wishes, I guess, when people shout them at the house. And then buying people shit on Amazon. Now, let's look at the
man, I use that damn credit card.
Oh, we can talk about that in a second.
Yeah. So,
but let's just focus on the reality. She buys a little girl a puppy. She buys a stranger a bicycle. And she buys a girl's grandmother and her nurse plane tickets.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
If my child wanted something and then a stranger bought it for her and just sent it to the house, I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Who is that? But everyone in this town's just like, yay, wishing house.
Yeah. So Elsie is Della Reese's character's name. And Olivia offers to be Elsie's wish bitch. If she needs anybody to go, you know, figure out if somebody deserves a wish, should they be on the naughty or nice list or whatever.
Right.
Olivia's got her back.
This was like her Morgan Freeman moment in Shawshank. I've been known to locate certain things.
Yeah, exactly.
I can help you with that.
Not a lot of people know this, but this movie is the prequel to Jessica Jones. So if you know, they're the same universe, same timeline. David Tennant raped her.
This is like an alcoholic superhero.
It's an after the credits scene. You gotta watch it.
But she sorts these. Wishes.
Oh, we're not there yet.
Oh,
we're
God.
Not,
I can't,
believe me, I can't wait.
I'm so excited
either.
About all of this.
I also can't
sorry,
wait either.
Guys. I step on the gas. I'm a woman. What am I going to do?
I can't open a fucking jar. Can't drive, can't open a jar.
Yeah.
So then he's telling, she's telling Lucas that she met her, but she doesn't tell her that she's granting the wishes. And they look her up, and they have Googled her, and they're like, let's look her up. And they're like, look, this woman's name is Elsie whatever. And I'm like, no, man, that's Della Reese.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a bunch of old pictures of Della Reese.
They just took the Wikipedia page for Della Reese and, like, took a white piece of paper with blue writing and put a different name and glued it to the computer screen. And they were like, yeah, says this gospel singer was on Touched by an Angel. Fuck. Never mind.
They're gonna sue us again.
Well, they have one moment where she goes, he goes, well, why would she be hiding here? And she goes, I don't know. Maybe she wanted to be out of the spotlight. And I'm like, yeah, the spotlight of a retired jazz singer. I could walk Della Reese up and down in front of Carnegie Hall and everyone would be like, she's homeless, right?
Yeah.
Is she a homeless person?
Yeah.
Especially if you got her the reporter scene. Holy shit. So now we get the scene that we've all been waiting for, where she shows up to help Miss Elsie sort the wishes. Yes, Miss Elsie's going out in the middle of the night, getting these wishes out of the box, and then bringing them home and organizing them. Because apparently she's a fucking vampire.
And Miss Elsie's always in a nightgown and a robe and no bra. Always.
Yeah, right. She's basically dressed like a pale Hugh Hefner. He's always in pajamas and no bra.
Her tits are resting on her stomach the entire film. They're just very gently. But she has organized the wishes into three baskets.
Three baskets.
Possible.
Uh-huh.
God.
Uh-huh.
And stupid.
God, possible, stupid. The Eli Bosnick story.
Yes!
Well done, sir. And so the little girl's going, stupid, those wishes, nobody's wishes are stupid. And then she reads them like, I wish I was big enough to beat up so-and-so. She's like, that's stupid.
That's stupid. That's a stupid wish that person made. That child's stupid. I want you to punish them.
Yeah.
Here's some prussic acid. You spray it in the face, it's going to look like a heart attack. Do he play football or something? You get him right after an athletic activity? I don't know, Miss Elsie. Cut. Those aren't her lines. Can we give her just enough of a shock so she can finish the scene?
And this movie takes such a dark turn here, too, because she then starts looking through the God wishes. And one of them, of course, she's like, I wish my dad would get sober. And she even turns to Della Reese and goes, I know who that is. Yeah, because it's just the one drunk in town. Right. And then she reads this, Dear God, Please Kill Me
Yes.
wish.
Yeah.
I'm so alone, and I miss my wife so much. A full grown man,
putting a wish in the wishing box.
It's stupid.
Wrote down, I want to die, and folded it up and put it in the box.
Yes,
and then both characters look at each other and they go, "You just want to talk about presents? Yeah,
let's talk about presents.
We don't want to deal with that shit."
Yeah, and this Della Reese, the message she's sending is, only God can kill someone. False. Like, at this point, I'm thinking Olivia is going to, you know, go euthanize a suicidal man, and this is going to be a really, really interesting movie.
Yeah.
Oh, where's that movie?
Right?
No shit. It's,
where Olivia goes all Kevorkian?
To happen, yeah. And then, of course, Olivia finds her own wish that her mom would find some dick in the God pile, and she gets all pissed, and I want to tell her so bad to go like, honey, I had it in the stupid top pile until I remembered you was coming.
Yeah, your old-ass barren mother. Yeah. That's a tough one. I don't know.
Right.
Only God can get your mama married.
I'm going to give you three words, child. Match.com. Your mama look good enough. Just tell her to keep swiping right.
Swipe right.
So, yeah, now that we've satisfied our voyeuristic wish fetish, I suppose we can pause for a quick break, but not before I give Act 3 the hard sell. Will we learn that Della Reese's character was a ghost the whole time? Will we finally find out what Kevin Sorbo's character is hiding? Will anybody fuck anybody? No, because that's the kind of shit that happens in good movies. But stick around anyway.
Oh, Miss Elsa, this has been so much fun granting wishes.
It sure has, child.
What are these baskets?
Well, these here are the stupid wishes.
Weird that you would judge people's wishes like that.
What?
Go on.
This is the God basket where I put all the miracles.
Okay.
And this here is the basket of stuff we can do.
But what's that last basket?
That's the sex basket, child. No, don't.
I just want to read one.
Oh, dear. You should not be reading that.
Oh, Miss Stella?
Yes, child?
What's a puzzle in a thunderstorm?
And apparently nobody uttered their safe word during the break, so we're back for more of this shit. And we're going to rejoin our hero as she walks somewhere with Lucas for the 800th walking somewhere with Lucas scene.
And then there's this moment where basically Lucas says, like, isn't it weird that you're reading everybody's wishes? And I'm like, yes, that is weird.
Very fucking weird. And what I'm thinking at that point is that Lucas is in the back of his head saying, oh, and if you read one about maybe somebody wishing to put stuff in your butthole, just ignore all of that.
Yeah.
And trust me that I meant it in a good way, or he meant it in a good way when he wished it.
Let me explain what I meant by shit slave, because I thought those were, I thought that was a secret box, and now I feel silly.
Oh, and of course, then they see Kevin Sorbo again, and
they hide from him.
Yeah.
I wrote in my notes, hiding from Kevin Sorbo, the Eli Bosnick story.
Now, of course, this is the first time they've seen him since he stood mom up. So he notices them because they hide poorly. So daughter gives him mad, crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, she burns him pretty good. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, you know, I told my sister I dropped these off. She's like, oh, it's so nice that you can keep your promises to others. And he's just like, oh, damn.
Bam!
That was pretty good. Got you, little
mic drop.
Yeah.
Crunch.
We out.
There's a cut scene where they have a rap battle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go to school.
Sore burned.
Where their gym teacher / regular teacher is still wearing a whistle.
Still sweaty.
Sweaty.
And in order to, she's like, how do I connect him and my dad? And then the
mom.
Bully comes, and my mom, sorry, that was
Freudian.
I wrote some / fan fiction about this movie. Check it out, guys. It's on literotica.com / ebozzy.
Yeah.
Got a really hot dead father that you might.
Yeah, exactly. So then the bully comes over and he's like, oh, we've got, what's going on, Luke? I don't know what he calls him. He doesn't call him anything worthy of what happens.
Hey, black kid. No.
At which point she's like, let it begin! And then she like speeds up the bully. And okay, in my notes, it's just full of violent suggestions. It's like, Olivia, go for his eyes. Yes, Olivia, break his pinky to the side. Cut out his heart.
Yeah. But yeah, instead, she's kind of just like wiping stuff off of him.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Yeah.
I know it's a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I don't expect her to know ground and pound or anything.
Guys, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard Noah say that.
But when you meet someone online and they say something.
But when you
sometimes
have a single mom, you become
serious.
A really bad underground cage fighter. Yeah.
But oh my God. Yeah, no, it was so hilarious. Watch. It was almost worth this whole movie just to watch this little girl not know how to hit this kid. And the kid is sitting there acting like that was the toughest acting job the bully kid had. He's just like, okay, I'm supposed to pretend like she's hitting me and this is unpleasant. Okay.
Right.
But he's the age that there's a girl straddling him. Like,
right.
He's
yeah.
Probably like, can we take that again?
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I sold it.
Yeah.
My mic. I felt my mic move inside my shirt. We should do that again. But she should just roll around on. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. That's my mic pack. Yeah, that's my mic pack.
Now, I gotta say, I honestly thought that was a fairly, like, as far as this movie goes, that was the most clever moment, right? They're saying, like, gee, how can I get the teacher and my mom together? She beats up the bully, and then they cut to her with the teacher saying, I guess you're gonna have to call my mom now. She'll have to show up all sweaty and half naked or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, very sexual. She's like, you gonna punish me, Mr. Teacher Man? Maybe punish my mom for me. And I was like, Jesus, 50 Shades of Christmas, Angel.
This was an excellent scene. As far as I could tell, Olivia was unscripted for this whole scene. I mean, she's a pro.
Yeah.
Absolute pro. And she's just like, so, I guess I'm in big trouble. This is kind of off topic, but, you were talking about college football earlier. Would you call yourself a generous lover? Oh, no, it's stupid. I don't know why. All right, I'm going to leave.
I know this seems random, but can you breathe through your nose for 60 seconds for me? Just breathe through nothing but your nose for 60 seconds. Say lolly lolly lollipops 99 times.
We'll see. But of course, her plan backfires.
These are all great tips that I'm really writing.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. I was just writing these all down as well.
Draw the alphabet on the chalkboard with your pen. No, really.
But her plan backfires. He doesn't call mom. He decides to keep it between them. But she does offer him some pudding or something at the end, which was kind of disturbing.
Right. She's like, oh, well, you should. She's like, you gonna fuck my mom? And he's like, no, I'm not gonna fuck your mom. Also, I'm not gonna call her that you assaulted another student, which is weird.
Yeah, that's so
like, I'm not gonna do anything. I'm a gym teacher. And she's like, well, you should at least come by and have some fucking gingerbread.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I guess so.
Well, do what I can.
Am I in trouble? Yeah, you're in trouble for not boning my mom.
So then we get outside the house. Apparently Lucas is pissed off because he made her look like a pansy, because now it looks like a girl needs to fight his fights for him.
So, yeah, misogyny from a 10-year-old boy. Christian movie bingo check.
You can't even open jars.
Lucas, will you open this jar for me as soon as I'm done fucking it? Cut.
Olivia, please.
Back away from Lucas. God damn it.
Can somebody wipe Olivia up?
All right, so now we go to our wish-granting montage where she's out helping people get their wishes. Now, I just want to point out, one of the wishes says, need money, any job will do. And then they cut to this girl who's getting a job, I guess, at the bakery that her mom works at, who is smoking fucking hot. And I'm thinking, okay, any job will do, smoking hot chick, they made it too easy, I'm not even taking
the bait. Yeah, exactly, we're not going there. They were like, hey, guys, have you heard god-awful movies? Let's make the girl who asks for any job at all, we'll do that. Let's see what they say about it.
Yeah.
Kevin Sorbo's listening to this episode, and he's like, oh, I wrote that line.
But no, we're instead going to make jokes about her turning into Ace Ventura all of a sudden.
And then we get, of course, Joey's dad.
Yes.
It's the most stereotypical movie drunk.
I want to just say, though, I want to give this movie some credit. The most stereotypical character in this movie was white. That's new one. I haven't seen that in a Christian movie yet. But holy fucking shit, this guy could not be. I was expecting his car to just be up on blocks.
Yeah,
he just walked
totally.
Up to it.
Yeah.
He's got a coffee thermos with like three X's all over the coffee thermos.
Shadow, right. Check.
Wearing coveralls, check.
Scotch, check.
Thermos.
Yeah, exactly.
Thermos.
Grease stains on the face, check.
Yeah.
Also, terrible and dangerous message for children to walk up to the dangerous alcoholic and be like, excuse me, sir, can I get within arm's reach and tell you that I know things about you?
Yeah.
I know you hit children, but I'm assuming you probably won't hit other people if you hit your own.
And I come from a family, like my mom was not abusive, but she was she was.
Boy, did that laugh not sound not abusive at all.
I'm going through my own punchlines. But if my mom found out that I like was talking her business, I would be in so much trouble. And that guy is an alcoholic, doesn't give a fuck guy, and he finds out that this other kid knows he is a jobless drunk.
And very clearly indicates he's going to
beat
his son.
Beat the kid
yes!
up. For which,
yes!
It's fucking horrible.
For which, there is no denouement.
Conclusion.
That
no!
is the end of
no!
those characters.
That's the last we see of these
the
guys.
The boy drives off into the sunset.
He's like, you think you're better than me? And they drive, that's it. Yeah. The movie's up. That movie ends with that kid dying.
Yeah.
Dying on a kitchen floor
somewhere.
No, it
cuts to them driving 4 days later. Dad, are we ever going to stop?
We'll stop when I find a place that the cops won't find the body. What does that mean? You'll find it out.
You'll find it out.
And she walks up to the guy. She goes, excuse me, Mr. Alcoholic that I know about. The construction company in town will hire you, but, you know, you'll have to clean up your disgusting face and stop drinking. You're an adult and I'm 10. I just have some important information for
Wait
you.
Wait a minute.
Okay, bye.
Strike that. Are you single?
Open your mouth really wide. No, no.
Can you touch your chin with your tongue there? Right. So now we get, we have to cut to Kevin Sorbo showing up at the house to apologize for standing mom up like 5 days later or whatever.
Right.
But first, he stops and puts a wish in the wish box. Again, grown-ups. Now, y'all, keep in mind, he owns this house. He knows Della Reese lives in it. He knows she's going to read the goddamn wishes. Grown adult putting a wish in the fucking wish right. box.
And I wrote, Kevin's wish is, please get me out of Christian movies.
I wrote, human skin.
See, I was sure he was going to be the please God kill me guy, but it turned out he wasn't that either.
Oh, yeah, that's him again.
No, that was
I know you got my first letter.
He dropped that into the props guy. He was like, hey, you should use this one. And they were like, Kevin, you don't do the, just use it. Use it. I just want someone to say the words out loud.
And don't you dare let her put it in the stupid pile.
Not a lot of people know this, but Kevin Sorbo writes 90% of Post Secret.
Yeah. Now, I also want to point out, too, that we find out later, the wish that he was putting in the wish jar, his niece needs a kidney. All right, so he was putting a request for a human organ in the wish box, which means that he's praying God is going to kill somebody with a good kidney.
Please, God, let That's some the way that drive works. Drunk tonight.
Right!
Totally.
But not that drunk, because we want that kidney to be in pretty good shape.
Right, yeah, right. You know. Like, it's his first time.
No, no, no. It's his son who happens to be in the past.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah.
So he shows up and he's like, oh, yeah, I wanted to come to the date. Oh, did you not get my message? Blah, blah, blah. And then he shows interest in LSU football. Right. He says, hey, what did you think of that game of football where they had the
they threw
brown
things and
thing?
And I wanted so badly for him to be like, what did you think of the game? And she's like, what did I think of the game? That ref could suck a dick in a basket. Yeah. That's what I think. Those motherfuckers can cut my... And now we cut to... the most bummer scene in the movie for me when you're aware of this movie, which is the, where do you get your money, Della Reese, not Della Reese? Where
yeah.
they have a whole pretend scene where they talk about pretend Della Reese, where it's like, I hear you used to be a famous singer. Yup, I used to be a famous singer. What happened?
Now I do these stupid fucking movies.
I do Christian
movies.
Fucking movies. That's what I fucking did.
See, I got attacked by a bear.
I sat on B.B. King's face.
Have you ever done that?
I love how she says, too. Like, she's like, you were a famous singer. And Della Reese looks at her like, how'd you know that? She says, I Googled you. You used to have a very nice labia, by the way, in your youth, as it turns out. Oh, and of course, we're also cutting back and forth now to Sorbo and the mom chatting, and apparently Sorbo's trying to get her wet, talking about sinus infections and giving yeah. her shit about
and they're totally
having a boring
irrationally
job.
Laughing, like nothing it's funny like, is happening.
It's like, oh, well, the other day this patient came in and he was like, Doc, I think I might have a cold.
You weren't this funny before.
let's start listing diseases. Ready? Go. Plague. Yeah. Diphtheria. Ebola. Oh my God, we're tickling each other.
Sin.
And then she has to like challenge his job, like ear, nose, and throat. People have those? Like, very. Yes.
She has never heard of his job and she mocks it. She's like, oh, look at me. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Do you need something done for your ears, nose, and throat? Yeah. What about your eyes, ears, and toes?
Yeah.
Knees and toes, knees and toes. And he's like, no, that's a real thing. And she's like, I'm a mom. Yeah.
But I mean, that is also a very common projection of women, like being the like, I don't know, cross-armed, like, everything you do, I question it.
I'm
like,
a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like, she did it with the tape and his house and decorating his house, and now with his job, she's like, okay, you say so.
Just what their
I bet
whole
you
relationship's
can open jelly,
be.
Can't you?
Do you take this man to be your lovely? I don't know. Yeah. He looks like he's wearing a tux.
If you say so.
So then they're taking a tour of the creepy old boarded up house. Della Reese and the little girl. And I was convinced Della Reese was going to fuck this little girl.
Yeah. Again, this little girl wants to get it wet. Like,
get it.
She just
get it in,
doesn't
get
matter.
It
doesn't matter if it's old black woman. It does not matter.
Also, we learn here that Miss Elsie is a broken, horrible bitch that used to beat her daughter and ran off three husbands.
Right.
Yeah.
And she goes, what are these? And she opens up a book of photos that are very clearly just photos of Della Reese again. Again, very tragic because they're like, oh, those are my old records. Why do they sell it to say Della Reese on them? Shut up. You shut your little white mouth, you little.
Oh, speaking of white, she also asks now, why does she always wear white?
Right.
And I still wanted her to say, it goes with my hood. It's right. a long story, but that's how I drove off all them husbands. It's, right.
And Olivia also asks her, are you dying?
Because, yeah, because you look old.
Yeah, your teeth move up and down like guess who? I gotta assume you're on your way out.
And Valerie says no, but we're going to find out. Spoiler alert, yes, fucking is dying.
She absolutely is dying.
No, she says to a little kid, we're all dying.
Yeah,
right. You're dying too, kid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But then she's supposed to say, but I'm dying faster. But right. she goes, no, not any faster than anybody else. And I'm like, hey, if you have throat cancer, you are dying significantly faster than other people.
You're on the express,
I don't know, little girl, you might have cancer too. You never know.
No, that's true.
You don't get checked very often.
So, of course, she also has to ask the little girl, where's your father? So that we can once again reinforce the single mothers should take what they can get motif that this entire fucking movie has been reinforcing. So.
Right. And the little girl responds in a way that makes me think that the father raped the mother and then killed himself in prison. Like, that's how her reaction plays. She's like, my mother told me I don't need a father and I never will. And it's like, ooh, weird.
Yeah.
He has to introduce himself to his neighbors.
And again, the secret atheist in the room snuck in the writer's room snuck in here because she says something like, you know, Del Reese says something like, well, you got to pray to God for the things that you can't do on your own. And the little girl says, well, that sounds like an excuse to do nothing.
Yes. Right. Great response from this girl.
Ding, ding, ding.
Your apologetics are bullshit, Del Reese. Love this girl.
And to which Del Reese responds, I'm gonna put that in the stupid basket, you little mouthy bitch. Yeah.
In fact, why don't you just climb into the stupid basket?
I made room. So now we have to have the scene. So she hands her this picture that I guess is a picture of her daughter when she was a baby. And she's like, oh, there's this song I used to sing to her. She's like, oh, sing the song. So she sings the song to the baby. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this scene is trying its little heart out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this was the first heavy-handed Christian thing, I think, for me.
Yeah, it was. This movie was super light on this shit, but they got there here.
And she cannot sing anymore, and it's such a bummer.
At the very end, you could hear, like, for just a second, you could just hear the tiniest little lilt in there. Really, and then she coughed up a frog.
I wrote in my notes, next week we're watching a movie about a woman who falls in love with a rapist, and this is much, much harder to watch.
Are you really watching that next? Oh my
God. Yes, we
are. Real movie.
Holy shit.
So she's.
I'll be back next week. No.
Yeah, she's weeping over a picture of her black baby. And then the girl turns around and she's like, so, what are you going to do now? And she's like, I am crying. I'm very mad.
Well, Olivia's devoid of any emotion.
And she turns to Olivia and she goes, nobody knows who I am anymore. And I was like, fuck, Della Reese said that thinking the cameras were off. That's Della, we're all going home for the night. You want to come with us?
Nobody knows.
I backed up for Who in the News. I was on some Beatles albums. A lot of people don't know that, but I was on Beatles albums. Okay, we can't use any of this. I can't use anything ever.
You know what? I can use my residuals from touch crying.
I asked someone the other day to read me my name back on my ID when I was buying liquor in the hope they would recognize me. They pronounced it De La Reese.
Recognize me.
He's got the throat cancer going. It's rough. You can't talk that easy. So, so now we cut back to the bakery.
Right.
First of all, we have to have the moment between Lucas and Olivia where Lucas is just, she's been neglecting his ass too long and he wants to get all pissy about that.
And we forgot, Olivia was like, hey, you should do a benefit concert at the church.
Right.
For the money for the kidney.
Yeah,
so that the mom can
I
live
don't
closer
sing
to the children's
anymore.
Hospital.
Yeah,
right. Tell her like he says no, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, that's fine if you don't want to sing.
I don't know,
we'll just let the little girl die alone. It's no big deal.
Yeah, right. And now keep in mind, what she's saying here is she's like, nobody remembers me. I can't sing anymore. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if anybody remembers you. She's asking you to sing for a benefit for a dying child. Well, like, you can set your ego aside for that, can't you? Yeah.
But if there ain't 10,000 or more people there.
Yeah, right. I was like, all right, I'll do that benefit, but here's my riders.
Madison Square Garden.
M&M's, motherfucker.
Talk to my booking agent. Here's my agent's card. Good luck.
Oh, and then we also have to wrap up the gym teacher plot line. So he comes in to get some gingerbread. Turns out he's engaged, so he can't fuck mom.
He's the judgmental whore from the beginning.
For the cake whore in the beginning. I don't know if we talked about this, but at the beginning, there's a woman just shoving cake in her mouth and being like, I can't decide.
Yeah, we did. We talked about her, about she was the woman that was like, oh my gosh. Not married?
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, so that's who he's marrying.
Yeah,
and I wrote in my notes, break them, little girl. Destroy their lives. Yeah.
And then the kid was like, isn't he cool? And she was like, yes, positively engaging, which is like.
Don't you hate it when your daughter sets you up with someone who's engaged? Y'all get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then poor man's Josh Hartnett is sick of their bullshit beignet nonsense. The reporter from earlier.
This guy.
This is the terrible.
This is the worst part of the movie.
Oh, it's the worst part of the movie because it's fucking insane.
It's insane.
Right.
It's
yes.
No human being on the planet would act like this.
Yeah.
I am the worst person I know who's not a murderer, and I would not do this.
Right. So the little girl comes up to the reporter and she's like, hey, you gonna write about the beignets? She's like, I'm a fucking reporter. There's not a goddamn, it's a beignet. It's, we're in Louisiana. Everybody's got beignets. Yeah. Fuck off.
Right.
Which is reasonable. So far, reasonable.
Right.
So she's like, well, but you know, Della Reese lives in the haunted neighbor house beside my place. So.
And he's so mean about it. He's like, yeah, you got Della Reese to sing at a fundraiser. Fuck you, little girl. This is how I talk to 10-year-olds. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely not gonna go to your stupid story thing.
And his response to that is to sneak into Della Reese's house.
Yeah.
Taking photos of the inside of her home.
Yeah, and when we say sneak in, this little girl is trying to physically push him out of the, and he's just walking over her like a possessed serial rapist. Like, he is like.
He sees a room full of medical equipment. He takes photos of the medical equipment.
Keep in mind now that all he's going on is 10-year-old little girl said famous person lives in the abandoned house next door. Like, so this is the kind of lead he follows up. And this is the extent to which he follows up. God, I wanted the meth heads to be in there this time.
Yeah,
but no, they're not. Yeah, so they find this weird chair with this weird glowing light, and he's taking pictures of it. I thought maybe she had a crazy torture room. Turns out it's not.
Pendulum.
So it's
going to
be when I remake this light motherfucker, but it's not.
Yeah. In my head, I was like, you know what would make this movie amazing? If when he gets into the house, Della Reese has been dead and is like a skeleton, and this little girl, it then flashes back and the little girl's just been talking and organizing the wishes.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Just a corpse.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so fucking awesome. This movie could have been really good, apparently. Yeah. They just had to run it by Eli. So now we get the creepiest moment in the movie. Where the little girl runs in and she's trying to like get Della Reese to wake up so that she can hide or something before the reporter comes in.
Opens the blinds.
Yeah, opens the blinds like, wake up. And she's like, oh, shut that shit off. And she looks so goddamn creepy. Now, I understand that, you know, when you get to be 106, you're not looking at your absolute best.
She looks like Black Benjamin Franklin.
Holy shit, if you watch the movie along with us, I'm going to need to give you a minute. Holy shit, that's exactly it. Well, see, that's the thing. That's why you don't just, like, wake 80-year-olds up out of bed and put them on camera.
Exactly. She reacts exactly the way you would if a reporter came in and was just like, are you asleep in your bed? Picture. She's like, fuck, go away.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure all of this is illegal. No, freedom of the press.
Yeah. Freedom of the press means I'm allowed to go inside all buildings always. I'm a reporter and I'm entering your bedroom. Remain calm.
I have a giant camera around my neck.
Obviously. Now, also, by the way, as the little girl pushes her out the door and closes it, the last thing that the reporter yells is, are you answering angel wishes, Mrs. Way? Really?
That's the story?
That's the fucking question you've got for her? Are you answering angel? Like, that doesn't even make sense as a goddamn question. You take it outside of this movie, that is the most ridiculous fucking question you could possibly ask a human being.
Yeah, but the end of the scene is probably the hardest I laughed in the whole movie.
Oh, it's
when
ridiculous.
He's on the cell phone.
Oh, yeah,
exactly. He's like, hey, yeah, Remember that story you wanted me to get? Well, I got it.
Hey, it's me, your cousin. You remember that new sound you were looking for? Well, I'm a fat old black lady screaming, begging me to get out of her house. Oh, it's your cousin, David. David Glass. Is this Philip? Philip Glass? You were looking for the final cries of a dying old jazz singer?
Well, I've got it.
Ready? Take this down. Get this into the early edition. Retired jazz singer dying in house. We're looking
Stop
for a Pulitzer. Pressing. We're looking for a Pulitzer.
Press extra, breaks in extra. Without permission.
Yeah.
So... All right, so now we're going to get sort of the explanation here so that Kevin Sorbo is going to come and read Olivia the Riot Act. And this is a super uncomfortable scene. They reveal a bunch of shit here, but it's a super uncomfortable scene if you step back and think about the fact that this is just some man you barely know yelling at a 10-year-old girl for shit that she could not possibly have known.
Right.
So apparently Della Reese has throat cancer, and she's getting photodynamic therapy. Which is a real thing, actually. To their credit, they actually did.
I am not smart enough to know whether or not that was a real thing. And I've seen enough Christian movies to be like, that's something that I would make up if I were a Christian movie. I'd be like, oh yeah, no, they're light activated cancer.
Right.
Gels.
Yeah. No, that actually is a real thing. And they got it right. Like, you are a super sensitive to light for like 6 weeks. So that's the reason she's staying in this darkened house and she's only coming out at night is because she's taking a type of, medicine that's activated by light that, you know, you take that and then you put the light exactly where you want to get the cancers. It's a laser treatment. And it, like I said, that is a real legit thing. Which is pretty cool, you know, but
it's crazy for a Christian movie to have a like scientifically accurate explanation for what you thought was an angel.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. Especially since, you know, they also have to admit that God gave her the throat cancer here.
Right.
Yeah.
That God gave you the throat cancer and that science is fixing it.
Yeah. Yes,
but
exactly.
But she gave herself the throat cancer for being a fucking bitch to her husband.
Oh, well, that's true. Obviously. Yes, exactly. What else is God going to do? But what I really loved about this is the attitude that Sorbo has, because basically he's telling this little girl, she has throat cancer. If she dies now, it's all your fault. You should have known that she was on a cancer treatment that gave her gremlin weaknesses. Come on.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Fuck, you're 10 years old. You should know this shit.
I'm just a normal doctor who keeps a woman in my rundown basement, shining lights on her, doing cancer treatment. You should have seen this sort of thing coming.
Like folks do.
And the mom's like mad at her. She's like, listen, there are going to be consequences for you giving that woman special cancer. You know cookies for a week and you don't get to watch your favorite TV shows.
And I will continue not to fuck anyone.
I'm not fucking anyone.
I know that drives you nuts.
For that, I'm not even going to masturbate tonight. Come on, mom, you're being unreasonable.
The buzz puts me to sleep.
So now we get like, okay, so all the reporters are crowding around the old house because that's all that's going on in this fucking town.
Like she's got Julian Assange and Edward Snowden in there. It's ridiculous. Right. Media circus.
Yeah, I wanted all the reporters to start throwing rocks.
I wish you would come out and
report on this shit. Also, this is when, okay, so mom sends the little girl to the room and mom and Sorbo are walking to the door. And Sorbo goes in for the kiss, mid-sentence on her, in the most date-rapey autistic way possible.
Oh, I thought that was a headbutt.
I wrote a headbutt. Yeah, exactly.
I meant to headbutt you. I accidentally ended up on the lips
you
there.
Yeah,
Kevin Sorbo kisses like he's used to holding people down while he kisses them.
But also, woman crying, most vulnerable, attack.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, I figured that you were weak now, so I would try to, no. Damn it.
No.
And then so mom goes upstairs and the little girl's like, you know, all upset because Della Reese doesn't like her anymore. And she's like, Lucas doesn't like me anymore. He's not speaking to me. And mom's like, oh, he'll be back when your tits show up. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Lucas ran into frame and was like, they're there enough now. Get him off. Cut.
Let me give him a goddamn pill again. And then, of course, we get an obligatory God reference here that they obviously penciled in when PureFlix optioned this thing.
And the lesson this little girl learned is not to try to be stronger than God by doing nice things for people.
Yep, don't do nice things for people.
Yeah, who the fuck knows? So then it's enough, and she's like, I know what I need to do now. I need to stop all this bullshit and get down to some serious praying.
Yes,
so she goes
exactly.
To church.
And now, like, we're in serious Jesus Christ territory.
Yeah.
Now yeah, they start from to here really on out. Lay it on thick.
Not for us. No. Not for our movies, but for this movie, this is where the Christian happens.
Oh, okay.
And Kevin Sorbo's in church. The little girl has brought her book of wishes that she stole.
From the God basket,
right,
yeah.
To pray on right. them. And she's like, and she and Kevin Sorbo sit there and she's like, hey, I'm sorry I blocked your cock so hard. And he's like, don't worry, I'm going to get it in.
Hi, you're the remaining adult male character that I didn't offer a heej yet to fuck my mom. So, but what do you think? I'll even go first.
But it's insane. Like, I'm sure this guy knows that, like, fucking this woman one time means they're engaged.
Right.
Like,
in this world, yeah.
In this world.
But this is where we find out why Kevin Sorbo's wife left. Oh, and this is one of my favorite moments. Kevin Sorbo's wife left because Kevin Sorbo can't have children.
Uh-huh.
And in my head, she's just like, I'm sorry you can't get married. My dick doesn't work. Right, so some kids, my dick is like a blood-soaked pool noodle. All right, well, little Jimmy, he wants a bike. My dick is a tube sock filled with marshmallow peanuts. All right.
Yeah, but does it fuck?
No, nothing at all. I've tried pills, creams, that straight-up injection.
Uh-huh.
You can put it in your mouth for hours. It's like chewing gum.
Okay, let's try.
So Kevin's like, okay, well, let's go through your little list, right? And he says this one, and I absolutely love this line. He says, after dying for our sins, these shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I just want to point out, I'm not trying to take anything away from people who get crucified. I'm sure it's unpleasant, but it's low effort.
Yeah.
Like, getting murdered is one of the easiest things a person could do. It's passive entertainment.
Yeah, look at Joe J. Simpson's wife. She was just like, meh, I guess.
No,
allegedly,
please, stop.
Allegedly, civilly.
Yeah, she couldn't do much, and she managed that one, so come on. So anyway, so she puts everything in the hands of Jesus, and now we get Kevin Sorbo, who's also trying to talk Elsie into doing this concert, this benefit. Now, spoiler alert, she doesn't.
She does not do it.
The whole movie, like the whole third act of this movie is people trying to talk her into doing this benefit concert, and then she just doesn't, and they don't even address
at all. It's like
did Della Reese actually die of cancer, maybe?
It's like, we gotta save the ski lodge, but they don't save the ski lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even acknowledge that the ski lodge is unsaved. And there's also this super weird cross cut here because they're cutting between him doing the photodynamic therapy.
Right.
And a choir singing at a church. So it's just like science doing something, religion being useless.
Right. It's like, here's the song we've been singing for 1,000 years, hoping things would get better. Here's right. a way we figured out to make light deliver medicine. Here's the thing that if the people who wrote that song saw it, they would shit their goddamn pants.
Right. Yes, exactly. And probably want to fucking burn you at the stake for your witchcraft.
Right. And then there's another kiss.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The gym teacher and his
fiance kiss. And
fiance,
I wrote in my notes, show me a kiss in a Christian movie that doesn't look like they needed a fucking countdown where they weren't like, okay,
oh, right.
3, 2, 1. Oh God. Yeah. Where are the buckets? Where are the buckets? Right. Also, fun fact, not a lot of people know this. Daniel Dennett is the choir director in this
yes,
movie.
Yes, he was.
Not a lot of people know that. It's fun.
Also, worst choir in history.
Oh yeah. Oh, you got a movie with Della Reese and the choir's like, Jesus birthday, happy grandma.
So they do the benefit or whatever, and then they're leaving. Now, this scene just really struck me as odd because apparently Kevin Sorbo is carrying around a briefcase full of money like a drug kingpin or something.
Well, because they did a special collection.
Yeah, right,
right.
So he just
took the money directly.
Yeah, I guess.
Right from the plates. They just dumped it into a suitcase. He's going to bring a bunch of fives and ones.
Right. Well, but they don't explain that. And a bunch of change and everything. Yeah, but they don't exactly explain that. So he just pats this briefcase and says, well, I've got to go. I know a little girl who's waiting for that. And I'm like, is that a kidney?
No.
Is that a question?
Is money so that his sister can move closer to the little girl who we can assume is still going to die of cancer.
Right.
Right. And by the way, the guy's an otorhinolaryngologist. I think he makes a little money. You think he could probably help his sister out. I'm just going to throw that out there. He's single. He doesn't have any kids. You know, whatever. Come on.
Yeah. I was figuring it was money to hire one of those ice bath surgeons to get the kidney. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
A guy named Dimitri is going to drop off a kidney. Yeah. Man, this is a liver. I give you both.
Yeah. With nail polish. Yeah.
But I want fives and ones. And personal checks.
Right. Also, I throw rock at house. My or wife still.
Make it up to kidney kidnapper. It's a little so, on the nose.
Yeah, right. So now we get this. Okay, so we've sort of established that the daughter, that Della Reese's daughter, doesn't love her anymore because she was abusive. Well, okay. So now we get a scene where the daughter read in the newspaper about mom hiding in this abandoned house, and apparently they printed the goddamn address because she pulls up in front of it.
He writes for the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, they printed the address.
Yeah, what? Right. That's pretty so disturbing. Crazy. It's like old woman who has cancer and wants to be alone lives at 727. Yeah,
if you want to say hi.
Right.
And Della Reese is in the house singing to herself. And then the daughter who can sing even less than Della Reese sings back. So it's like. It is the worst.
Honestly, throat cancer is not the worst thing that could happen to her. This way. Della Reese and her daughter would sound better with one of those tracheotomy voice things.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Stephen, you don't always die from tobacco. Yeah.
Stephen Hawking and Della Reese, Robot Christmas album. Perfect.
Oh, and we totally skipped over this. I gotta set this up. I fucked this up. Early in the movie, the mom asked the daughter what her impossible Christmas wish was, and she says she wished for snow because she didn't want to just say, I told the entire class that you couldn't fucking get your vag wet with a goddamn spray hose. And so she says, I wished for it to snow. And so now it's Christmas morning, and damn it, it's snowing. It takes science and doctors to get rid of the throat cancer, but God's got this snow, y'all. Right. He's got the road hazards handled.
Also, everyone comes to the house because it's Christmas. Everyone comes to the house, and this is a huge pet peeve I have. It's the first movie we've watched where I can talk about it. This is a movie thing, not a Christian movie thing, where everyone walks out of the snow, and they're like, wow, it's snowing out there. No one walks out of the snow with joy. Everyone goes like, fuck, I'm slipping and sliding. This is going to be a fucking nightmare. Oh, God. Yeah. This is a fucking
horror. Can you take your shoes off on the porch?
No, I can't take my shoes off on the porch.
My socks will get wet. Now, I do want to say, though, honestly, Eli, from my perspective, like, if you live in southern Louisiana or like southern Georgia or something like that, you get super fucking excited about the snow.
Yeah, that's true.
You honestly do. And by the way, the entire goddamn town shuts down entirely. The ambulances won't run. They're like, you're on your own, motherfucker.
Yeah.
There's ice underground.
In New York, we just kill all our homeless people that way. Right. We're just like, good.
Street cleaning.
Nice. Guess who's not going to get bothered on their way to the train tomorrow? This guy.
You just got to step over a corpse.
And I also love this is another thing that you see in movies constantly. So, you know, the family, the couple that she works for at the bakery, they show up for Christmas dinner and Kevin Sorbo shows up. But then Della Reese and her whole daughter's extended family show up and they're like, yeah, we thought we'd come over too since I live in an abandoned house with no heat and it's snowing. And the mom's just like, yeah, sure. Like, that's six extra people. Who the fuck? You're like, yeah. I don't give a shit how generous you are. There's no way you've got food for six extra fucking people.
And this is a line that might only hit with the feminist on the line here. When she says, yeah, come on in. We have enough food. We have too much food. Because, you know, women, they have to eat like birds. They really do. They don't really even eat. They just make
three peas at a time. No, it's okay to eat. You just have to vomit later.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
When Miss Elsie showed up, I was like, Miss Elsie is here. Stand your ground, Kevin Sorbo. Stand your ground.
But I will say, in this last scene, there are more black people in this last scene than
there
white
have
people.
Been in all of the movies we've watched combined.
Yeah,
right. Hell, there was more in that scene than there were in War Room.
Mm-hmm. This was a delightful movie.
So, yeah. And of course, then they have to close it off with another kiss.
It's so bad.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Is Sorbo gay?
Oh, probably. He's Christian.
He's super born again, right?
There's a reason you come super Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
He was getting chiropractic, and he had a stroke, and then he was like, oh, I'm a Christian now. But I think he was just like, oh, I love dicks. Yeah. No, I don't. I don't love dicks. Yeah, I'm a Christian.
No, he came to in a bathroom.
I'm a recovering gay. One day at a time.
Right. All right, well, since that's going to be our kind of our last episode before Christmas, I wanted to wrap up with a holiday-themed analogy rating here. So, Heath, Eli, Rebecca, I have the same question for all of you, and it's a two-part question. I want you to think of the worst gift that you could possibly get for the holidays that would still be better than watching this movie. Now, like I said, two-part question. What is it, and who gave it to you? Heath?
All right, so... So again, I mean, this movie was terrible, but also amazing. Also amazing. So it's tricky. It's tricky. Mm-hmm. The answer here. So, I say it's like getting an STD for Christmas, but it's HPV and I'm a dude, so that doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, but it was a great movie. It was a great movie. So it's like getting HPV during like a great threesome. It's bittersweet.
I get it. I get it. Bittersweet. Bitter for them, sweet for you.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
So it is true.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sorry you had to learn this way.
Yeah.
So, Eli, same question.
I'm going to go with CJ Werleman's head. Like, you don't want that evidence, but you're glad he's dead. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad this happened. I just don't. Now I have to deal with this part of it. Like, I'd be happy that I have it. And that he's no more.
Oh, shit. You just got a slow clap from me, sir. And I hate to put you up against something like that to follow him up.
Letter.
But, Rebecca, same question. And if you want to sing the answer, that's fine.
I think having to like to go on a blind date with Olivia.
That would be amazing.
Then I would just have to like no, I'm here with you. Why
I got you a strap on.
Mother?
I'm just saying. Just like, why don't we go crazy? Why don't we go crazy? You've only had one glass of wine. Do you want another one, Miss Lady?
Because with that, this one has two heads. I have to endure Olivia, but I don't have to endure, the old creepy man woman that can't sing anymore in the creepy boarded up house.
That's right.
Like all of that is taken out of the equation.
That was so sad. Well, I gotta say, Rebecca, I'm impressed. You suffered all the way to the end. I'm not gonna name any names, but not all of our guests manage that. So congratulations are in order.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
you. I can't wait to be untied. I really can't wait.
So if our listeners would like to hear a little more from you, where would they go?
You can follow me on Twitter, Rebecca_Vigil, like Candlelight Vigil, on Twitter.
Awesome. And of course, we'll have that linked in the show notes. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
And while that does it for our review of Christmas Angel, that isn't going to do it for the episode just yet, because holy shit, do we have something crazy coming up next week. So Eli, tell us, what's on deck?
Loving the Bad Man.
Which is about...
Okay, so here's the... I found this movie like a month ago, and it is... I have been saving it. It's my Christmas present to me. It appears to be...
Holy
I got
shit.
Burned by a Christmas angel. It appears to be about a girl who gets raped by a stranger and decides not only to keep his baby, but to love and marry her rapist in prison.
In prison, yes. Yes, comes to visit him, like, out of the blue in the preview. He's like, what the hell are you doing here? And she's like, well, you know, it was it's better than I thought it was going to be, I guess. Holy shit. Yeah, so in addition to sending the message to women out there that when you get raped, you should at least give him a chance, it's also sending the message to Christian men that if you see a hot Christian chick, you go ahead and rape her. I mean, you know, sometimes it
rape
works.
Your way to a wife.
Just make sure you've got some shekels.
I want to call it now, and I don't know that this is true. I think this might be the most morally reprehensible movie we do. Worse than No Greater Love, worse than War Room, worse even than Last Ounce of Courage. I think this might be the worst moral movie we ever did.
Even if they really soft-pedal the pro-rape, I think you're right. Yeah.
However much pro-rape argument there is in this movie, it's going to be too much.
I think so. Yeah. I'm not exactly, I wouldn't say looking forward to is the correct preface, but this should be interesting. So with all that to not quite look forward to, we'll bring episode 18 to a merciful close. Another huge thanks to Rebecca Vigil for joining us tonight. And of course, a huge thanks to all the Patreon donors that help make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/godawful and thereby earn early access to every episode. You can also help us a ton by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes and by sharing the show on all your various social media platforms. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist and The Skeptocrat, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars and was used with permission. If you like what you hear, hear more by following links on the show notes for this episode. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick, I'm No Illusions, promising to work hard to earn another chunk next week. And quick, before we let you go, we'll offer you the Breakfast Club close.
Beat the back of your mouth. Beat the back of their mouth. Don't sue us.
The orphan kid with the bike awoke several weeks after Christmas in a motel bathroom full of ice with a hastily stitched surgical scar and no memory of how he got there. Mrs. Hill's daughter, in a related story, lived happily ever after.
Olivia went on to be molested by her high school science teacher in the least surprising turn of events ever.
Olivia's mom, Melinda, came out to her daughter shortly after the events of this movie. "Ooh," said Olivia, "I get it."
Elsa just went ahead and died of the throat cancer. It was not pretty.
Kevin Sorbo molested the shit out of Lucas. The shit out of Lucas.
And Joey's dad beat him to death. His final thoughts were of Lucas and his pencils.
"German man, please don't sue us."
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.